tempers flare in the family, and you wonder if children will ever learn how to control their anger. In this session, Scott and Joanne give specific advice about anger management for children by breaking anger up into various parts. Whether your children are preschoolers or teenagers, this advice will help you to teach them to deal with their anger in helpful ways. As you listen, you may even discover some ways to deal with your own anger. Near the beginning of this session, Scott shares an unbelievable story about anger that happened in his family.
As we talk to parents and children, we find that anger is often a problem in homes. We find that parents get angry with children get angry with parents, children get angry with each other, everybody gets angry with the dog. I mean, you know, the problem goes on and on and on.
The problem is that, unfortunately, often in the family doesn't have a plan for anger. They don't know how to deal with that anger, that emotion that they're feeling. They allow it to pull people apart, to do damage to relationships in the family. Often we find that anger closes relationships down. It builds walls between people if it's not dealt with. So it's unfortunate when we see families that don't have a plan for dealing with anger.
Now, we're going to share with you a specific plan for dealing with anger. But before we do, I'm going to share with you a story about my son, Josh. Now, Josh has given me permission to tell this story to you because it illustrates the power and danger of anger. I'm married to Carrie, who's in the back there, and then we have five children. Josh is our oldest. He's now 16. And this, I remember this Sunday morning well. Josh was about 11, 12 years old. And we had been out Saturday night at a church activity the night before, and so we were already running a little late. And it was the weekend where the clocks had to be changed, so we lost an hour. So everything was going behind schedule. I was in the shower, taking a shower. Carrie makes us a nice breakfast all the time, and yogurt was part of the menu. And Josh and Megan had made it to breakfast, and so they were serving themselves. Megan served herself more than Josh thought was appropriate, and so Josh was correcting her. Carrie walked in, saw it differently, and decided to say some different things. Now, that made Josh mad. Nobody realized what was going to happen in the next few seconds, and what happened illustrates the power and the danger of anger. You see, Josh used to have a real problem with anger as he was growing up. When he was a preschooler, he used to have temper tantrums or stomp off to his room. When he was an elementary age child, he would say mean things or slam his door, and we often disciplined him and saw little steps of progress, but not as much as we would have liked. Now Josh is 16. He has great control of his anger. He's a much more enjoyable person to be with. He's much more at peace with himself. But back then, this Sunday morning was different, and he was having a hard time. And his intent was to take the container of yogurt, quart container, and slam it down on the table and protest and walk out. Unfortunately, he didn't know what was going to happen, and when he slammed it down on the table, it exploded. And it went in an unbelievable fashion all over our kitchen, so that there was yogurt hanging from the lamp over the top of the table. It was all over the table, it was on the ceiling, and it was on the decorations on the side of the wall. But even worse than that, there was a big glop of gooey, creamy yogurt that came right up out of that, right onto Josh's face. And Carrie, my wife, was also in the line of fire, and so there was yogurt on her face, on her hair, on her dress. Well, Carrie handled it much better than I would have handled it, I'm sure. Josh was already heading for his room. Carrie told all the other kids, go to your rooms. I'll be there in a minute. She walks in, still has yogurt on her. She walks into Josh, opens the door. You need to come out here and clean up all that mess in the kitchen. She comes into the bathroom where I am, opens the shower door. I couldn't believe it. It looks like somebody threw a pie in her face. And so I got out of the shower. She got in the shower to get cleaned up. And I went out to the kitchen. I couldn't believe it. Josh was standing on the table trying to clean yogurt off the ceiling. Yogurt had gone out of both doors. It was on the cupboards. It was on the floor. He was cleaning up yogurt for about 45 minutes, and I still don't think he got all of the yogurt out of there. Now, it wasn't funny that morning, and I suggested to Josh that he go and apologize to his mom, which he did, and things were somewhat improved right away. But I share that story with you because it illustrates the power and the danger of anger, because when we get angry with someone else, it often makes a big mess that has to be cleaned up. And the worst part about it is that it hurts the person who's angry too. And that also creates a mess that has to be cleaned up.
I'm going to introduce myself here just for a minute. I'm Joanne Miller, and my husband's name is Ed, and we have two boys. David is 11, and Timothy is 8. So just so you know who I am, too. You know, we have give a picture of anger when we use a thermometer, and we like to illustrate anger with a thermometer because often the intensity of the emotion increases like mercury going up a thermometer. So we start down with a low intensity of frustration, then we go right up that thermometer sometimes with our emotions. So we have that picture of a thermometer. In fact, the children who are, those of you who have children in the children's program tonight, they're going to bring home a thermometer tonight that illustrates that, how the intensity builds in a person, like mercury going up a thermometer. And what we'd like to do is keep that mercury as low as possible. Just keep it down at the frustration level often, rather than going all the way up to anger or other things.
So our goal is to stop the progression up that thermometer. We're looking for ways to do that. We're going to give you some specific ways in which you can help children address that today. We're going to break anger down into bite-sized pieces so that you can try to address it in its several components.
What we want to do for you tonight is give you a plan to deal with anger in your family. We want to teach children to recognize what anger is, to know a little bit about how anger works, and to know what to do when children get that feeling. How should they respond when they start feeling that way? See, often what happens in a family is that one person gets angry, and then the other person responds. Maybe they pull away, or maybe they get angry too. But the other people in the family, then they begin to kind of withdraw a little bit because, you know, boy, they don't want to rock the boat. And what happens is that relationships start shutting down. Walls are built then between people. People may be raising their voices, but they're not listening to one another. Communication breaks down, and there's stress and tension in those relationships. That's not necessary. And we think this, as we help children understand anger and help families understand anger, then we don't have that tension in those walls built then.
We believe that the secret to keeping relationships open is to have a plan for anger. Most parents don't have a plan for anger. They're just going to hope that things get better, and so they often don't do anything about it. Sometimes parents, they just don't resolve their anger. They just keep starting over, hoping things are going to get better.
It's like the man who came home from work to find out that it had not been one of his wife's better days. The result was a short fuse and an unpleasant attitude. Well, you know, by 7 o'clock, he just felt like nothing he could say or do was right. You know, everything was a problem. So by 7 o'clock, he decided he was going to go out the door, turn around, and come back in and just start over. So he did. He went outside, and he turned around. He knocked on the door or opened the door, came back in, and said in a very loving voice, "Honey, I'm home," to which she replied, "And just where have you been? It's 7 o'clock. You see, anger requires that we do more than just try and forget and start over.
Now, we have a lot of material that we can share with you about anger, but we've chosen a particular part of the material to give you, which gives you a plan to get started right away. So you can implement some of the things we're going to share with you pretty quickly, and you'll see some changes in your family. We believe this is a good place to start, whether you're adults dealing with anger or whether you're children. Now, we're going to spend some time addressing the specific needs of children, so I'm glad that some of you kids are here with us tonight, because we're going to share with you some specific ways that you can deal with your anger. But parents, you can also use these same things and apply them to your own emotions as you feel them. Now, we've divided anger into four categories: frustration, anger, rage, and bitterness. We believe that those four terms are descriptive of what happens to your emotions as the intensity increases. And what we want to do is try to help you deal with those in different ways. Our goal is to help children learn frustration management, anger control, rage reduction, and reducing bitterness. That's our goal. We want to present ways that children can apply those ideas to their own emotions as they come about. Now, one of my favorite scripture passages in dealing with anger is Ephesians chapter 4, starting around verse 26 to 32. Very practical passage of scripture, and it deals with anger. Verse 31 says, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger." Remember, those are the ones that we just talked about. Frustration turns into those three. But it also talks about three others: brawling, you know what that is, because that's what your kids do when they're angry with each other, brawling. Slander, that's what you do with your mouth when you're angry with someone, is slander. And malice, that's planning evil. So those are six terms for anger right there in that passage. It says, get rid of all those things. But we're focusing on the first three: bitterness, rage, and anger. anger, because we believe that frustration, when not dealt with, turns and moves into those three problems.
And we've spent a lot of time helping parents and children deal with anger in their families, to develop anger plans for their families. And having a plan for anger can really work. It can help you know what to do when those emotions come. It can help you to apply those verses in Ephesians to your life and to your emotions. So let's just take a few minutes first and define the terms that we're sharing with you. The first term that we're using is the lowest level of intensity of this emotion, and we call that frustration. Frustration happens when you're on the phone and you can't find a pen that writes. Okay, that's frustration. Your child is putting on their shoe and the shoelace breaks. Frustration. You got a pile of books on the table, they fall off the table, they spread all over the floor. These are the kind of things that can bring on frustration in a person.
Anger is a step up from that. Anger is when you tell your son he can't go to the soccer game, be with his friends, so he gets angry. Or your daughter gets angry with the baby because the baby spills apple juice on her homework. That can be an anger intensity there.
Okay, now we move up the thermometer a little bit further. We get to rage. That's a more intense emotion yet. We say rage is the two-year-old's temper tantrum, or the teenager who slams his fist into the wall or kicks the chair. That's rage. Rage is anger out of control, or anger that controls you.
Bitterness is anger that you carry around with you so that you can use it whenever you feel like it's appropriate. The child who says you always or you never may be experiencing a bitterness. A child who has a bigger and a more intense response to a problem than the problem warrants may be experiencing bitterness. Now, again, back to Ephesians 4, verse 26 has a good suggestion for dealing with anger, and it says, do not let the sun go down on your anger. Well, that's very appropriate when dealing with bitterness, because bitterness is accumulated anger, and we want to teach our children how to let it go and not carry it over day after day and let it pile up, because in doing that, it creates problems. In fact, the very next phrase in that verse says, and do not give the devil a foothold. Now, I don't want to blame all our anger problems on the devil, but it is true that the Satan likes to use our weaknesses to wreak havoc in our lives. And so destruction happens when our anger is present. If we have a problem with anger, it ends up hurting people every time we turn around. So relationships get damaged. And Satan loves to use that to destroy relationships. So that passage becomes very appropriate when dealing with bitterness.
I think that the scriptures are very practical here. If you think of verse 29 of that same passage, it says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And this is a great verse for children, because often children get in trouble because of the things they say. And if they could learn to guard their words, guard their speech, catch themselves before they say something and ask themselves that question, is what I'm about to say going to build others up? That'll deal with a lot of what comes out of their mouths, if they're able to learn that verse and guard themselves in that way. Now, what we're going to share with you tonight is a three-step plan for dealing with anger, and we're going to talk about each one of those steps. The idea is to help children understand what's going on and to know how to deal with it, how to respond in a different way than what they might be used to. See, often anger comes on children. They react, and they don't even know what's happened. All of a sudden, they're angry, and they're reacting, and afterwards, they feel bad about it. They don't like to do that. They don't like to respond that way. They don't know what else to do. We had a 7-year-old boy came to us for counseling. His family brought him in for counseling, and they admitted that his anger was causing problems in the family. And this little boy knew that. He realized that he was disrupting the family by the way he was acting, and yet his response to us was, it's just the way I am. And maybe some of you young people feel that way. It's just the way I am. It just comes out, and there's nothing I can do about it. Well, what we did for this young person, the 7-year-old boy, was we gave him a plan, a simple plan that he could understand, that he could put into practice, and it gave him a sense of control in that situation. Then he realized he had a different choice. He didn't just have to respond in anger, but he could respond differently. They did a tremendous amount for his self-esteem. He was able to feel good about himself because he knew how to respond in a different way when those emotions came.
Now, this plan that we're going to share with you is going to help your children understand what's going on. And just in the understanding, it gives children a sense of control. It gives them a sense of feeling better about themselves because they recognize what's going on. One of the first things we tell children when they come in to us for counseling as we're dealing with anger is we say, anger's good. Did you know that? And usually they'll go, what? You know, who is this guy my parents have brought me to? And because they are feeling bad about the anger that they're experiencing. What we say is anger is good for identifying problems, but not good for solving them. What we're saying at that point is that anger is an emotion that it comes as a result of who we are. We are emotional beings. We don't say that anger is necessarily bad. It doesn't take long if you're looking in the Bible to see that God gets angry or Jesus gets angry. Even in Ephesians 4, in that passage, it says, in your anger, do not sin, which gives you the impression that there's some kind of anger where sin isn't present. And so we recognize that anger can be a good emotion. It's good for identifying problems, but not good for solving them. What we want to do with children is teach them another way to deal with their problem solving and use anger to help them see that there's a problem here, but then go ahead and solve it in a different way.
Anger is good for identifying problems, but not for solving them. What anger tells us is that something's wrong. That's what that emotion of anger tells us. Something's wrong. Now, that something wrong may be something out there that's wrong, or maybe something wrong inside of me. But that anger identifies the problem, but we don't want to use the anger to solve the problem. Now, just the realization that anger is okay can be really freeing for people, for children or adults. To realize that that emotion that you're feeling is okay, it's there for a purpose, can just free you up to say, okay, well, now I know, you know, that's okay, but I need to respond differently. So that's really helpful for children to understand that.
All right, let's get down to a plan here. First of all, let me ask you, how do you know when your son or daughter's angry? What kind of things do you see? What?
Stomp.
What?
Foot stomping.
Foot stomping. Okay, what else? Making faces, throwing things.
Temper tantrums.
Yes.
Pounds his fist on the wall.
Okay, it sounds like you at least know what we're talking about here. You've got some experience with this. That's good. I mean, sometimes I feel like we could all sing that childhood song with different words, of course. If you're angry and you know it, stomp your feet, clap your hands, shout. It's important for us to be able to look at anger, teach children how to respond to it in more constructive ways so that they have a plan. They know where they're headed. They know what to do with their own emotions. So let's start with the first step.
Okay, the first step of this plan is to identify the cues. If we're going to have an anger management plan, we need to understand what's going on. We need to identify the cues. Now, we're not talking about what does anger look like here when we talk about identifying the cues, though. We want to go even earlier than that. We say there are early warning signs. Before your child starts punching, hitting, saying mean words, doing those acting out things, there are actually some early warning signs. And maybe you see them already, or maybe you haven't tuned into that. But what are maybe some of those early signs that the child is about to get angry? Maybe they're getting frustrated. They're about to lose control. Do you know what some of those early warning signs are? Yes?
Withdrawal.
Mm-hmm. Get quiet. Yes?
Silence.
Okay.
Raise the voice.
Sometimes the tone of voice tells us that we're going to have a problem soon. Good.
Grumpy look on his face.
Mm-hmm. Grumpy look on his face.
Uh-huh. And take a deep breath.
A deep breath. Good. Good.
A big sigh.
A big sigh. Yeah, often the breathing is what clues us in. We want to be able to identify those cues for our child, and then the goal is to actually teach that to our children so they can learn to identify those early warning signals in themselves, and that will get them going on this plan.
Do you know what the early warning signals are for you as adults? Do you know? I can tell you what they are for me, and maybe you can try to apply this to yourself. For me, when my eyebrows get wrinkled, I know I'm getting there. Okay? When a lot of times my shoulders will come up, or my stomach will get tense, or I'll start breathing more shallowly. Sometimes it's a feeling that I have, something inside that, you know, I'm about to let loose. I don't feel like sitting still. I feel like getting up and doing something. You know what I mean? That feeling, you know, what I want to do is I want to be in tune to that way before I've done the something. I want to know what that early warning sign is for myself. All of us experience frustration. Frustration is a part of life. It's important for us to understand and be able to see that as it's coming on. Now, most children can't see it. They don't know that it's coming. The very first step is to help them to see it by making observations and saying, hey, I can tell you're getting frustrated because your tone of voice or because of the way that your head is down. I can tell that you're, how do you see it? You have to study your kids and be able to point it out. See, I can tell that you're starting to get angry. I can tell that you're getting frustrated. Frustration is what happens when you're trying to get out of the house and your children aren't ready to go. Or you get into traffic and you'd like to get there, but you can't. And so you're starting to experience this frustration, or someone cuts off out of turn in front of you. It's the same kind of feeling that your son experiences when he can't find his favorite baseball card, or your daughter experiences when she can't find the socks that she wants to wear. Those are all frustrations. Everyone experiences frustration. The only person who doesn't experience frustration lives in a cemetery. It's something that we all experience. It's a part of life. And we want our children to recognize frustration as it's developing so they can see it coming on. They can recognize the physical symptoms in their own body and look at themselves and say, I'm starting to get angry. That's the first step, is to identify those early warning signs and the cues.
See, the idea is to help children identify the signals when they're just at that frustration level, before they're all the way up the thermometer. So if Timothy is having a hard time getting his sneakers on, I want him to identify that frustration just at that stage, before he gets so upset that he throws his sneaker across the room. If your daughter is frustrated because the blouse she wants to wear is wrinkled or is in the laundry, you want her to recognize that frustration at that level before she gets so intense about it that it turns into other things.
Often children recognize that they're angry only after they've exploded. Then they'll say, I'm angry. We want to help them catch it earlier on so that they can slow it all down. Now, that doesn't mean they're not going to be angry and react in anger sometimes, because they are. But there's a difference between knowing that you're angry and making the choice to respond out of that, and not realizing that you're angry and just exploding.
Okay, so the first step of an anger management plan is to identify the cues, to understand what's going on, to see it starting even at the frustration level as early as possible, to catch what's going on and identify it. The second step is to step back or to stop, to take a brief break from the situation. If a child's putting a puzzle together and it's frustrating, they're having a hard time, or they're having a hard time with a friend, that child may need to get out of the situation and do something else for a little while. Or that child may need to just step back for a minute, take a deep breath, and then re-enter and continue on with the puzzle or with a friend or whatever. But in either case, however intense that emotion is, what the child needs to do, once they've identified what's going on, they need to step back or to stop. Now, we say the size of the stop is determined by how intense the emotion is. Okay, if we're just down at the frustration level, the child may need just a little stop sign, a deep breath, realize what's going on, okay, I can go on now. Now, if the child's already up the thermometer, already up to rage, then that child needs a big stop sign. They may need to go to their room for a while to settle down. They may need 15, 20 minutes. They may need an hour to settle down. We don't know. But we say that the size of the stop sign is determined by the intensity of the emotion. But no matter how intense or just slight it is, they need to step back. They need to stop and settle down.
We were working with the one mom who had a problem with anger. She knew that, and she was just taking her anger out on her children continually, and she decided she was going to work on it. And so at first, the goal was just get out. As soon as you start feeling angry, get out of there. So she had a hard time just getting out of the situation. Eventually, though, she was able to take a smaller pause right there and take a deep breath. And her kids were all afraid whenever she took a deep breath, because she knew that she was angry. But it was helpful for her in being able to resolve. You see, the size of the stop sign is determined by the intensity of the anger. And so that's important for children as well. Some children get enraged. Stopping is especially important when a child is enraged. Let's talk about rage just for a minute. Rage is anger out of control, or when anger is controlling you. You can tell when a child is enraged because they're not thinking rationally. They're functioning on that pure emotion. The solution for them is always to stop, to get out of the situation, to take a break. They need to do that. There's no other options for them. They've lost control. Stopping is the most important thing they can do at that time.
So the solution to rage is always to stop and to take a little break, take a pause from the situation, get out of the situation, and settle down before that you re-enter. So if you see that your child is enraged, your child's out of control, you may need to say to your child, hey, I can see you're really upset here. I want you to go settle down for a little while, then come back and talk to me. Just take the child out of that situation, that you need to go to your room or wherever it is you decide the child needs to go. But take the child out of that situation, say, you need to go settle down, then come back and we'll talk about it. You don't want to try to get involved when the child is enraged. Now, what you may find is that it's helpful to say to your child even, When you settle down, when you can put your anger into words, come back and talk to me. Because often that's a sign that the child is no longer enraged, is they can put it into words, how they're feeling, what's going on. So we may say to a child, okay, you're really upset now. I want you to go settle down. Come back to me when you're able to tell me why you're so upset, and we can talk about it rationally.
Some of you are enraged and don't know it. That's why we spend a lot of time on these first two steps. It's very important for you to be able to examine yourself, to look at, see what are the cues. The reason I say some of you don't know it is because some of you think that normal behavior is yelling, that that's the normal response. That's how you're supposed to treat children. Some of you might even say, well, it's because of my kids. They won't obey unless I get angry. And so you'll blame your anger on your children. Others grew up in homes where the way that parents interacted with children was yelling. That's just how they did it. Parents always yelled at children. In fact, you believe that being a good parent means having a loud voice. And so when we have those kind of dynamics in a family, then we end up with a problem. One of the ways that you can tell that you have an anger problem is if your children bait you and you take the bait. Now, children, it's always amazing to me how children know how to bait their parents. They know what buttons to push. You never give me a snack. And mom is ready to jump out of her chair and say, well, let me tell you something. Well, see, children know how to bait us, don't they? They know how, they'll say, Dad doesn't do it that way. Oh, no, what do you mean? You know, and mom's ready to fight. Well, it's amazing that children can bait us, but it's even more amazing to me that parents fall for that bait. If you're falling for the bait continually, it's an indication of an anger problem. It's an indication that you have to deal with this anger by coming out and entering into a debate with your child who's baited you. Don't take the bait. A child who's being manipulative like that needs to be disciplined. That's important. I'm not suggesting that we let it go. They need to be disciplined, but that doesn't mean they need the anger in the process. Anger can often be hurtful and damaging. It doesn't have to be part of the discipline process.
It's really important for you just to get in the habit of stepping back, to stopping when you feel yourself getting intense, whether it be frustration or anger, rage, whatever it is. Just get in the habit of stopping and just taking a break for a minute. That slows down the whole process of what's going on. We find that often, as we're working with families, the parents are just in the habit of responding a certain way. It becomes such a habit, and children, for that matter, too, becomes a predictable response. And if we're put that stop in there, settle down, back up a little bit, it helps us to change the pattern and to adjust where we're thinking, what's going on, to evaluate why we're getting frustrated, evaluate what is really going on here. I think it's helpful to work with children and help them to understand where is this anger coming from. I think sometimes children get in the habit of blaming their anger on other people. If your daughter Mary is all upset because she can't watch a movie on TV, her brother is watching a football game and she's angry because she can't watch a movie, she's going to blame her anger on the brother because he's watching football. But really, her anger is a result of this expectation she has that she should be able to watch what she wants anytime she wants it. So as we work with children, we want them to understand where this anger may be coming from, and not just blame it on someone else, but to spend some time thinking about themselves. What are the demands that they're making? What are the expectations they have? And to think through that a little bit. Time to process with the parents is really important. So we're going to slow down the process here and not just react so fast, but step back, think about what's going on, and then be able to talk about it. If I tell David that he can't take his rollerblades to church and he starts stomping and getting angry and acting out, what he needs to do is go to settle down for a few minutes. You need to take a break, then come back and talk to me. And then we can talk about what the problem was, why he was angry, how he could have responded differently. But the idea of stepping back or stopping in the middle just slows the whole process down, settles you down, settles your child down, so that you can talk about a better response.
Proverbs 29:11 says, a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. Now, venting as an immediate response brings immediate relief. So if you're angry and you vent, you all of a sudden feel better because you've gotten rid of that energy. But it's not a constructive response. There's all kinds of other ways that you can also respond that will be hurtful. Sarcasm or mean looks or hitting someone are all responses to anger that make you feel better. But those are unhelpful responses. It's important to control anger and to learn how to respond to it. See, if you're just venting, if you teach children to vent their anger whenever they get enraged, then what you've taught them is that the next time they get angry, then exploding is the proper thing to do. It just isn't helpful. It's not constructive.
Ann Landers was responding in her column about a two-year-old temper tantrum, and a writer wrote back a response to Ann, and that was also printed in the column, and I'm going to read that to you. Dear Ann, I was shocked at your advice to the mother whose two-year-old had a temper tantrum. You suggested that the child be taught to kick the furniture as a way of expressing the anger. I always thought you were a little strange, and now I'm sure. My younger brother used to kick the furniture when he got mad. Mom called it letting off steam. Well, he's 32 years old now, and he still kicks the furniture. What's left of it? He also kicks the cat, his wife, and his kids, and anything else that gets in his way. Last October, he threw the television set out the window when his favorite team failed to score and lost the game. The window was closed at the time. Signed, frustrated.
So the second step is to stop and settle down, clarify what's really going on, especially if a child's enraged. In fact, this is what we tell parents. Never try to reason with a child who's having a temper tantrum. Never. Okay, it doesn't work. The child, the whole definition of rage is that the child has lost their ability to think rationally. But I see parents with a child who is enraged at the playground or at the grocery store trying to rationalize with this child, trying to bribe them, whatever you want to say. They're trying to reason with... That is not the time to do it. The thing that that child needs at that point is to take a break, to stop. Now, we spent a lot of time on these first two steps, but I just want to say that if you spend time on these first two steps in your family, you will see a lot of progress quickly. Right. If you're having trouble with your anger as a parent, stopping or seeing what's going on and making that a priority for you will do a lot in your family. We find parents are eager to go on to the next step, and that's fine because there's some helpful ideas we're going to share here, but don't neglect these first two steps. They're very important. If your child's having a hard time at these two steps, it's a great opportunity for you to partner with them. You may need to develop a silent signal by raising one finger or touching them just so that they can realize they're starting to get upset, and what they need is to say to themselves, I need to take a break. What's happening in me right now? I need to slow down. You can do this with young children as well as older children. You're trying to help them recognize it, help them see it, rather than engage them in angry dialogue. If you find yourself engaged in a dialogue, a healthy dialogue, but it starts to intensify, it starts to get angry, say, okay, look, it looks like we're getting upset here. Let's take a break. And then let's come back in a few minutes when you're ready. But you need to come back. Don't just ignore it and let it go away. Come back and, okay, let's talk about this problem again and try to resolve it. So you want to resolve conflict, deal with issues, but you want to try to move the anger out that causes the problem.
So once you and your child have settled down and you come back together again, then it's time to work through the problem and to use this opportunity to talk about anger and anger management and an anger management plan. What you want to do is help your child to identify the emotion that they're feeling. Often children don't know what they're feeling. They get this intense emotion, they react, but they don't know what it is, and they don't know what to do with it. So as parents, we can help children by identifying that emotion for them. We can say, I could see you were getting frustrated, or I could tell you were angry, you were disappointed. Name that emotion for children, help them to understand what's going on, and at that point, it's just helpful to have a name for it, so they know that somebody else understands what I was feeling. That's great. You also want to empathize with your children. You know, I understand, that would be frustrating for me too. Somebody knocked down my castle, I'd get upset. I understand that. You don't want to allow the child to respond in a wrong way, but you want them to understand that you know that where they're coming from. You know what they're feeling. You can identify that emotion for them. You can empathize with it, but then they need to respond differently. The way they reacted to that anger was not good. I understand you were frustrated, but let's talk about a different way you can respond to that.
One mom we were counseling with said that when she was working with her boys and she decided she was going to work on her anger, and just as she started working on it, she would be transparent with her kids. And she would say, look, I've got a problem with anger. I want you to know that there's going to be some times when I need to just get out of the situation. And so in the midst of that, she was able to teach her sons a little bit by modeling what was going on in herself. Now, sometimes we encourage parents to journal. And we encourage them to journal and come back and tell us, now, where'd you get stuck? Where was the problem? How are you doing on this? When were you successful? I encourage you to do the same thing. And journal for yourself and look back. Are you making progress? Where are you getting hung up? You may even, if you're working with your children on anger, have them do some journaling with some specific questions or check marks or some way that they can also acknowledge that they're working on this particular problem.
Now, once a child has realized that they're having a problem and they've stopped and settled down, that's the first two steps. They identified what was going on, they've stopped. Then they're ready for the third step of the plan, which is to choose a different response. Now, we tell children that they have three healthy choices when they get in a situation like this. When they're feeling frustrated or angry or upset, they have three healthy choices. That's it. You have three choices. It really simplifies things for children. It makes it kind of easy, okay? I'm feeling this way. I've got three choices. Now, there are a lot of unhealthy choices that someone could choose. You know, the hitting or the yelling, the raised voice, mean words. Those are all unhealthy choices. We say you have three healthy choices, and you can pick one when you're feeling frustrated. We're going to talk about what those three choices are. They're to talk about it, to get help, or to slow down and persevere.
These choices simplify the process for children so they know three choices. We find that this is helpful for them because they don't have all these complicated things to think about. Now, this is like anger management 101. And we would encourage you as parents, if you're struggling with anger, deal with these three choices. Kind of limit your repertoire to these. If we were to talk later or with older children or adults later on, we might add anger management 201 with things like responding with kindness to someone who's hurt you, or responding with sorrow instead of anger, or learning how to forgive or how to confront. Those kind of things are important, but we find that it's very helpful to deal with these three choices with children at first. These are your choices. Which one should you have chosen? Which one are you going to choose? Keep working that out with them because it covers a lot of the bases for children and helps them deal with the anger that they're experiencing.
So the first response that we're going to talk about is to talk about it. Okay, now these aren't three steps. You don't do all three of them. You choose one of the three. The talk about it choice is if one child is having a hard time with another child, instead of hitting or grabbing, and they want the toy from the other child, whatever, the idea is to talk about it. And we give young children the exact words to use. If David's having a hard time with Tim because he's being really rough with his Legos, I'll say, David, you need to talk to Tim about it. Tell him, I don't like it when you play rough with my Legos. We teach children to talk about it. That's one of their choices, is to just go to that other person just in a calm way and say, I don't like what you're doing. This is a problem for me. And that's an adult response, too. We have a problem with a neighbor. We need to talk about it before we get all upset and angry and start doing mean things to our neighbor. We need to talk about it with them. So that's one of the choices that we have.
If you find yourself angry with your neighbor or someone else, you know that that's one of the choices. It'll help you to resolve your anger. When I was working in a preschool environment, we would teach children those exact words. I don't like that. When they're very young, we would teach them that. Very young, 2 and 3 years old. If somebody's pulling away your toy, you don't like it, you say, I don't like that. As a teacher, if we ever heard those words, we'd be quick to be there to reinforce what they're doing. That was great. I'm glad you said that. Here, let me make sure this is working. Let me help you out. So one of the responses is to talk about it. The second response is to get help. Now, when the child gets frustrated with a blanket that's falling off the table, they're trying to make a tent out of it and it falls off, maybe they need to get help. That's one of the choices they can make. The child who's having trouble with talking about it with another child may need to then go get help because it's just not working. Getting help is important. Now, you know that getting help is one of the solutions. And so when you see your child getting angry, what do you do sometimes? You give them help, right? You go in and solve their problem. Now, I would encourage you not to do that right away. Now that you know that, well, that's one of the solutions, instead of going and solving the problem, which does resolve their anger, I'd encourage you to say to them, it looks like you're getting frustrated. Remember, I'm here to help you. Ask me for some help, and I'll help you. See, what you're doing there is you're teaching the child how to initiate a response to constructively deal with their anger. You can go in and solve their problem for them because of the frustration that you see, but it's better if you'll say to them, look, you have a choice. One of them is to get help. I'm here ready to help you if you need some help. A little frustration in a child's life is a great teacher. It helps them to know how to deal with the anger that they're experiencing, and one of those choices is to get help.
The third choice that children have, and we as adults also have, is to slow down and persevere. If somebody's mowing the lawn and they get to a big, thick, grown-up section, what they need to do is to take it a little bit at a time. And it's the same thing is true. If we're working on a project, we're involved with a friend and the relationship's not going too well, or a child's working on their math, what they may need to do is just slow down and persevere. You've already taken that stop, that break. They may need to readjust their expectations and then try again, slow down and persevere. So, you know, the child may have some math homework to do and they wanted to get it done in a half hour so they can go out and play with their friends. Well, that math is harder than they thought, and they're getting angry because they're not out there playing with their friends. What that child needs to do is learn to just slow down and persevere. Readjust those expectations. Say, hey, this is harder than I thought. This is going to take me 50 minutes instead of 30 minutes. That's the way it goes. I need to just slow down and persevere. That's one of the choices that we have when we're getting frustrated or angry.
So we teach children, you have three choices, young children, older children. That's the choices we give them. We had one family that they took those three choices and they put them in their playroom, wrote them out, talk about it, get help, slow down and persevere. Now, those three things are skills. I don't want to make it sound real easy here. You have to teach your children how to use each one of those skills. A child can talk about it in a mean way. Well, that's not appropriate. Or a child could get help with a manipulative, whiny voice. Or a child could, and all they're doing in those situations is turning their anger around and doing a semi-constructive way of doing it, but kind of manipulating that. There's some children who will use slow down and persevere, but what they really mean is they put their head down and they grit their teeth and they just push on. That's not the same as what we're talking about. We're talking about take a deep breath, readjust your expectations, and go back and try again. Now, some children end up having a favorite that they'll use. They'll always slow down and persevere when really sometimes they ought to get help because they're just not working if they always slow down and persevere. So you want to teach children to use all three of these methods. They're all constructive and they're all helpful as children are learning to process the anger that they're feeling.
So as you're helping your child work through this anger management plan, you may be the one that recognizes the frustration. And you may say to Bobby, hey, Bobby, it looks like you're getting frustrated. Remember, you have three choices. Just cluing him into, oh, yeah, I've got those three choices. Talk about it, get help, or slow down and persevere. And you may even say to Bobby, hey, Bobby, do you remember what your three choices are? And just rehearse that with them. Help the child understand what the choices are so they know how to respond the next time. And if the child has responded in anger, maybe they've done the wrong thing, you're talking about it afterwards. You may ask, you know, which choice do you think would have helped you in that situation? What choice do you think you could have used that would have been more constructive for you? So we want to be teaching our children. It's a process that they're going to learn. It's going to take some time. But if we talk these words with them, we help them understand there's just three choices. Which one are you going to choose this time? It helps them to begin to develop patterns of more healthy responses to their emotions. If they're able to just identify what's going on, to stop, settle down, think about it, and then choose a different response. Now, this is helpful at any stage along the way, whether it's frustration, anger, rage, whatever it is. The idea is to catch it at frustration level. Choose one of these choices, and then we're off and run, and that's great. If we're not able to do that, we may be up to anger or rage. They still have those same three choices, and that will help them get back down the thermometer to a more reasonable level. So we want to teach children that they have three choices. Now, as children get older, we may want to pull in some other more sophisticated choices, things like expressing sorrow instead of anger, showing kindness to someone who's been mistreating you, being forgiving, things like that. That's got a little bit more sophisticated. But if we can start with children, giving them some concrete ideas of what they can do when they're feeling those intense emotions, we find that's really helpful for children.
Now, Ephesians 4 is helpful again here because in verses 31 and 32, it says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ forgave you. So there's three things there, being compassionate, being kind, and being forgiving. Very important choices. And so there are some advanced techniques that you can teach children. But what we're trying to do here is give you some basic stuff so you can implement these first things right away and then add these other alternatives later on. Now, one other thing that we want to share with you is you have discussions with your child. Afterwards, I hope that they get angry. When they get angry, you have them settle down and come back and talk about it. And when you talk about it, one thing that we find very helpful is for them to recognize there are four causes of anger. And so we ask them to tell us, now, what was the cause of anger in this situation for you? Here, we want to tell you what these four causes are, because when you understand these, they give you something to dialogue about with your child so that they, again, can take apart their anger and understand these are normal responses that are happening, and you just need to see what's going on here. The first response is a blocked goal. That's when you're trying to work on a project. So you're going to set it up, the table and so on, but your child's Legos are all over the floor. And so you're stepping on them and you're starting to feel angry about it. You have a goal in mind and that goal is being blocked. That's the first cause of anger.
Another cause for anger is violated rights. That's like when you're in the bathroom and the child keeps knocking on the door and you get angry because you have the right to go to the bathroom in peace.
A third cause of anger is unmet expectations. I had expected that when I came home today and walked in the door, I would be able to rest. But instead, I find this mess that I have to clean up. And so I might experience anger, unmet expectations.
The fourth cause of anger is unfairness. Whether you're a victim of unfairness or maybe you just see unfairness, that can cause anger. You see someone taking a toy from a younger child. You want to step in. You get frustrated because there's unfairness happening. The secret to keeping relationships open is to have a plan for anger. You see, anger can be destructive to relationships. It can close relationships down, create tension and walls between people. And so if you have a plan for dealing with anger, you can help move those emotions of rage and anger back down to the frustration level and maybe deal with it all together, but keep those emotions down at a lower level so they're not causing that damage in relationships. And as we teach our children how to handle these intense emotions, we'll be giving them a valuable gift that they can take on throughout their life into adulthood, develop some skills to respond to their anger in a healthy way.
This is the end of this tape. We hope this session has been a valuable one for you. Maybe it would be helpful for you to stop right now and write something down you intend to do differently this week before going on to listen to the next tape. Each tape will provide new helpful insights to work on in your family before you move on. If you would like more information about effective parenting, please call us at area code 609-771-8002 or 1-800-771-8334. We're here to help you.